It's Elise here, and I'm back with episode 8, part 2 of my talk with Paul Bush of Cornerstone Supernatural. I really hope you guys all enjoyed the first part of the discussion. I found it really interesting. So this episode, we talk more about technology and specifically what technologies Paul recommends to people who want to start getting into investigations. I also ask him what he thinks about Ouija boards, whether or not he gets scared during investigations, and we also talk about different things that increase energy and spirit activity. Next week, I'll be bringing you yet another fun two-part episode as the last part of our Halloween countdown. Paranormal encompasses so much more than ghosts and hauntings, and actually this is something that Paul and I talk about in this episode. And I explore some very strange unsolved mysteries that have paranormal elements, or at least they evoke a sense of paranormal in some of the theories, or just in the fact that they are unknown. To make it a little more fun, I invited my good friend Brianne to join me, and she will be hearing all of these stories for the first time, right along with all of you. So I hope you'll listen next week on Tuesday and Thursday again. Please make sure that you follow Cornerstone Supernatural Group on Facebook and check out my blog for more information and links to their website. So without further ado, let's jump back in.
Like, how prevalent is it to meet someone or hear from someone reaching out to you or telling you a story where you find out that they've made it up? It's for publicity or, I don't know, boredom or something, but they've made up a story.
We have yet to come across any place that that has done that. Mm-hmm. We were in a very high-end restaurant in Gastown, and one of the employees was continually complaining that somebody was watching him, that he was feeling nauseous around his station. It happened to be a small bar station. Mm-hmm. And so we went in there bright and early in the morning. However, we went in there to prove or disprove. And we did all our investigation. We never got one iota of anything paranormal there. Mm-hmm. However, at this gentleman's particular station, I found behind the wall was a compressor unit. So it was giving a lot of electromagnetic field from that compressor. This gentleman is a sensitive, and so sensitive to high electronic magnetic fields, any type. So they feel that more so than maybe you or maybe I. So we are able to disprove that it wasn't a ghost that was watching him and pass that information on. So it wasn't made up stuff. This gentleman definitely had a feeling that something was there. But you still go in with an open mind and try to help those individuals regardless. And you've got to be able to say, okay, if we find something, we'll let you know. If it's something can be explained, we'll let you know. For us, you can't just make things up. I don't think that's fair. It's like going into a basement. You're feeling anxious. You're feeling claustrophobic. You're feeling, again, somebody's watching me, feeling a dark presence or anything like that. First thing we look for when you go into a situation like that, we start with our detectors, our various pieces of equipment, and we'll walk around and check to see if there's any EMF and find out, there's some wiring here and it's old school wiring and it's giving a lot of that off, or there's an electrical panel that happens to be here. Or, it's a museum and there's some really big cable going through the buildings. And that's where people feel that. So if you go in there, you find and disprove those things without making them feel bad, you can say, this could be a reason why you're feeling that or why the staff is feeling this way. They're sensitive to that type of field.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And then when you guys go into a place, so what are some rituals or precautions that you do to keep your team and you safe? Like, do you guys sage? Do you do certain things before and after to make sure nothing's leaving with you or things like that.
Well, like I was mentioned before, at the very beginning, when we walk into a location, one of the things is we just, you know, say, we're not here to hurt you in any way, shape, or form. We're just here to find out about you, have a little conversation, and things like that. That's, we do that every time.
Yeah.
When we leave, we just say, you know, thank you. You'd be appreciative, even if you haven't had any experiences, because you don't know what's on your recorders.
Right.
But so you say, thank you for having us. We appreciate the conversation we had, and stay here. Don't come home with us. You know, you're comfortable here. Just keep on doing what you're doing here. Don't come, don't attach yourselves to us. We don't want you to come home with us. And so it's something that we do each and every time. If there are certain areas that where, for instance, if you go to some, an Aboriginal place or a place where it's got some meanings of that, or if
you've got,
a location that is on sacred land, or if there's been a, if you're on a location where you're on an ancient burial ground, and that's, mm-hmm. that has happened, then you'll smudge yourself, or you'll protect yourself, or in that regards, and just have a little bit of just something extra, just to make sure that, again, you're clean, your spirit is whole before you leave there. We're all drained. We're really basically drained from doing an investigation, for sure. Others even more so, that they feel like, you know, I've got to have a bath, or geez, I'm really cold. I need a blanket, and I'm not generally, and that person is generally not cold. So mm-hmm. it affects the people in different ways. So.
And have you ever felt unsafe or scared during an investigation?
That's another good question, because I get asked that all the time. Especially when you're talking to someone about the paranormal. We're don't really have that time to be scared, and the reason is because we're focused on what's happening. We're focused on questions, or what somebody else in the group is doing, or walking around with an SLS. You're in the dark majority of the time, because our equipment works better that way. But also, if you think about it, what works better? Your hearing and your eyesight. Your ear picks up, and your eyes become more focused on what's mm-hmm. in the dark. So you'll see maybe a shadow or something. I was in a church here the other day, and I swear that I seen a shadow figure by a hanger. It would disappear and come back. And when one of our investigators went in there with a K2, again, to measure the field, it would go off. Now, again, we never got a picture of it, and I can't, you just have to go on what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see shadow figures all the time, and for sure, I seen one there.
Right.
So, but you're concentrating on what's happening. So you don't have the time to be afraid of what's there. Maybe one or two people in our group has had that type of experience, but for the locations that we've been in since this group is formed, I don't think we've ever come across something negative.
Right.
You might have a dark presence. And again, we were at another church where we were allowed to come in. And yes, there was a dark presence in the basement or in the lower level, and there was positive on the upper level. Mm-hmm. So, but nothing that, oh, you're going to come in here, I'm going to eat your face.
Right.
You know, that just hasn't happened. And right. I don't think, I really have a tough time thinking of something bad that's out there. We were at a what we call the witch's house, and she's a practicer,
mm-hmm.
and we were in one of the bedrooms, and one of our mediums actually felt the stroke of a hand across her face.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they will get that, but nothing in a bad way.
Yeah, and I think too, this speaks a lot to what most people know about the paranormal is what they've seen on TV. And a lot of good TV is when there's something scary and they need to get it out of the location, and they're hearing a scary voice and it's in the dark and everyone's got night vision, and it's good to hear the real stories.
And that's, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the shows, they've got to make their money. They've got to make it so that, you know, they're going to get picked up in another year. So they'll make it a little bit theatrical in order for that to happen, or add that music score in order. Mm-hmm. And bravo. Good. It's a great gig if you can get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the real world, you don't get a lot of that sort of things happening at that time. If you're looking at some of the shows and they're doing a reveal at the end and they're showing evidence and things like that, that's quite cool, because mm-hmm. then you say, okay, yeah, I actually did hear that when they were going to do it. It might have taken them some time to get that.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually picked up on something or something in that regard. Other times, yeah, no, I don't think that happened, or it's tough to say you actually heard that or seen that. For people that want to know about the paranormal, a lot of people are afraid. It takes some time, and some will never get over it, over that fear. But some will take that fear and turn it into curiosity. I think if you can get in on the conversation, you can find out more about it, ask the questions,
mm-hmm.
And get some answers. But if you can give them the vehicle where they can drive it and find out more about the paranormal, and that could be anything. Paranormal to me is not just ghost spirits, goblins,
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. It's, you know, is it Sasquatch? Is it
right.
UFOs? Is it other types of paranormal that you cannot or we cannot explain?
Yeah.
We're going to have a Sasquatch investigation near the end of this month. So we'll see. We'll see where that, and if I ever get up to Campbell River, I've got a gentleman up there that'll take me up there and do some things all the time. So.
Yeah. And that's so interesting too. And that's stuff that I would love to get into when we do another one, is I would love to talk about that side of it as well, that it's not just about energy and ghosts and things like that. It does include other things. And also, I think it would be interesting too, if we went through some of the sort of common theories, and if we went through the technology as well. So people who don't know about it, and I don't know everything, I don't even know, like, how does the spirit box work? Those kinds of things. So I think that would be a really cool topic to also discuss, you know, down the road, because that would be really interesting.
And then there's, I mean, as we go forward, I mean, if other members of our team are available that are specialists or
mm-hmm.
people that know that equipment inside and out, then for sure, because I don't know it all on it. There's
right.
no way. I mean, I watch, to tell you the truth, I watch some of those ghost shows to see if there's any equipment there that we can probably look at.
Getting. Right, some new kind of stuff, so exactly.
You could spend tens of thousands of dollars on equipment and not go anywhere. I mean,
right.
one of the things I just is for me is people ask, well, how do I get into this? How do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, curiosity is a good, healthy thing. Try to go on public event of sorts to see how, because different groups will give out different things
right.
and about have different equipment. Go to maybe some of these fundraisers and see what's happening. But I mean, if they really want to get into it, two pieces of equipment, I say, get a good digital recorder, a digital voice recorder. You'll spend probably $100 on it. I wouldn't go stupid crazy and get one that's $300 or $400.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in this for a long length of time, sure.
Right.
Do I have one? No. do some people in our group have them? Absolutely. Because we rely on each other for different skills and different,
for sure, yeah,
different pieces of equipment. And the other thing is a K2, just to read the electric magnetic field. I
mm-hmm.
think that's important too, because they might be scared in their own house and trying to figure out why there's, again, talk about the basement, but going into the basement, they're feeling weird. You know, that laundry room, I don't know, things are just coming out. I don't want to do the laundry, so it's your turn. and the walk-in with the K2 meter, again, that's probably around, you can get one for anywhere from, I'd say, $40, $45 at Walmart, and or get them online for $80. I mean, just get a normal one. Take it into that laundry room with that evil, that evil dryer, and just walk around and say, oh, I've got an electrical panel here. Oh, I see this wiring here, or something else that can be explained. And they'll feel better about it for sure.
Mm-hmm. And
just go on if there's a ghost hunter or something like that. Go and have some fun. I expect when we do these functions, I expect people to line up and ask questions about anything. Why do I need a digital voice recorder?
Mm-hmm. Well,
it hears things, believe it or not, of people that aren't there when we're sitting in the dark. And we're kind of weird. we're a different group.
It's again, good to be weird, though. That's the best. Really
talking to somebody that's not there. And so it breaks the ice when you're talking to someone about it. I would say if you've got listeners in Alberta, there's a group in Alberta, in Edmonton, in Red Deer, in Calgary. There's a group, couple groups in Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, mm-hmm. literally across the country.
Right.
So find out.
Google. Yeah, absolutely.
Google them and say, hey, do you happen to have a public event coming up at some point in time? Mm-hmm. If they say yes, find out when it is. It educates a lot of people. I mean, you talked about or had places like the Point Ellis House on Vancouver Island.
Yeah.
That's a good one. You mean you can go there and Stave Falls? Well, we've been there. We've done investigations. It definitely has some activity. So,
mm-hmm. And do you think, like, I've talked about the sort of theory about water being like a conduit for paranormal activity. So do you guys believe that? Because, you know, we've talked about Stave Falls. I've talked about even like the SS Valencia and the sinking of that ship and sort of, you know, you have water and even Point Ellis House, they had the bridge disaster. They're right by that body of water. You know, is that something that you guys do believe?
Absolutely. You know, another place that you had there was Hell's Gate.
Yes.
We're going back there in October. But I mean, that's, you've got water going through there all the time. Mm-hmm. It's at disasters on the water. But other locations besides water, granite or bedrock is another.
Yes, I've heard that too.
That's another magnet for paranormal activity or energy.
And why? Like, why do you think that is? Is it almost like recording something? Is it more of a residual energy type thing?
I can't tell you that. I don't
know.
I mean,
it just so happens.
It just happens to, for me, it happens to draw a lot of energy mm-hmm. from locations. And why, whether it's like you say, a residual energy, or it just happens to be, you know, powerful water going by and it's creating that energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good possibility.
Right.
We don't know everything. We're curious just like everybody else. And for me, I try to book as many different locations that you wouldn't generally think about. We've got a video on our website. It's taken at the castle and it's called The Tall and the Small. And again, it was done with a SLS camera, strategic light sensor. It's got the Kinect portion of it, which is basically like the Xbox Kinect.
The little dots that kind of, yeah. Exactly.
So if I point it at you, it's going to map you out as a stick figure. Well, mm-hmm. this also captures energy that isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So it will actually give you a stick figure if it thinks that there is a figure there
mm-hmm.
that you can't see. We got two, the tall and the small, and we call it that because there is a tall SLS figure and a small SLS figure in this ballroom, and there's nothing and no mm-hmm. one in front of our camera doing it.
Right.
So, and then the tall is another one that I think we've got up there, but it's the same thing. We ask it to knock on the wall. It knocks on the wall. We said it's looking a little bent with its leg.
Yeah.
We said, there's something wrong with your leg. It actually moves its leg. So these things I can't explain.
Right. Cause it's responding to you. That's another kind of level of it, is you're saying something and it's responding to what you're saying.
Yeah.
And very interesting.
Again, that's evidence. It's just like asking a question and something comes back through your digital recorder. Do you like it here? And something comes out. Yes. That's the cool part. And when you cannot explain it, that's even more cool.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Okay, so I think I have two more questions. But, okay, so I've been dying to ask this question. In the Fernie episode, there was a cleaner in the courthouse. So the courthouse is supposedly very haunted. So one of the cleaners one night downloaded an app on his phone, and it was like an EVP app. Right. So for me, at least, and I may be completely wrong, which is why I'm asking, but for me, when I hear a phone app, I'm like, I don't know if I trust it. So what do you guys think about phone apps and ghost hunting phone apps? Do you think that it's legitimate or they can actually catch something?
Yes and no. Phone apps are great. They're not that inexpensive, or in fact, sometimes they're free. Mm-hmm. You got to watch that. I think that it's, that's really... Thanks for that question.
Really, I know, I threw that right in there, didn't I?
Within our group, I'll give you an example. We've got one of our members that has a phone app. It's a thermo on her camera or on her phone. And I've got a thermal camera. So we will catch different but similar figures. If you can go into a situation and get something definitive, and that's the tough part, is if you can back that up with something else. We were at a church and I took a thermal, it was very, very warm upstairs, and I took a thermal hit off the front of the church. And there was a lot of heat on the rafters of the church or anything like that. But over the pulpit was one red circular object. Mm-hmm. It looked like a head. Couldn't explain it. Absolutely couldn't explain it. So some people ask, well, is there something else there? Can you, back that up with a regular shot? So we did. We actually went in and got some, we just did that recently and got some video, tried to explain what it is. We couldn't. Mm-hmm. Now, same person went in with the thermal, with an app, but never got anything from that. So I would say, try it. Personally, I don't have apps.
Right.
Some of my team has apps. We have our investigator has an Oculus 3, which basically takes words out of the air and pops it
right
up.
Right.
I think it's a really cool piece of equipment. Others in the group don't. But as you go along and you get a piece of equipment that's similar to that, then try it both in the same situation.
Right. And I think that's smart. You know, you're kind of checking it.
Yeah. And then see if you get exactly the same. And if you do, bravo, you've got a good app. If you don't, question the downloaded free app that you get.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so my last question too is about Ouija boards. So Ouija boards are very kind of controversial, I think, because I feel like there's people that really hate them, really scared of them, feel like you need to be really careful with them. And there's people who think there's nothing wrong with it. I play with it all the time.
We have people that say, well, I had one from when I was a kid and played with it all the time and nothing ever happened. We have others that say, I'm not going to touch that. Mm-hmm. So I think it all depends on the person that believes in it and finds that, yes, I had an experience with it, or yes, I did not have an experience with it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are, and it could be the mindset going in. If you've heard that a Ouija board is going to open the gates and everything's going to come in, then you're going to go into that. If you've never worked with it before or know anything about it, you're going to go in with that type of thought in the back of your mind, that, okay, we're going to do this and the gates are going to open and everything is going to come in. And it might. Some people do actually believe that that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another really interesting question, because I think it all depends on the people using it. If the people using it are open-minded and wanting to know more about the spirit world, possibly might be a good thing. I have not played with one. I don't have the inkling or notion to want to play with one. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say that I wouldn't try it. So I'm going off topic. But if you've gone to an investigation and you are invited back, one of the questions I ask right off the bat within a couple of weeks is I ask, has anything changed? Mm-hmm. Are you getting more activity? Are you getting less activity? Are you seeing things in different views? We were at a bar in the basement again, but that's where the kitchen was. And the dishwasher was, he was always having interactions with a shadow figure there. We couldn't find anything that we could substantiate there, but we were there, we did our questions and things like that. And it was a negative thing for this dishwasher. Mm-hmm. His experiences wasn't really great. Well, a couple weeks later, because of our questioning, maybe because of our group coming in there with a positive attitude. And I asked, what's happening with the dishwasher? And the owner of the place said, he's singing and he's actually enjoying what he's doing. And so she went down and she asked him, why are you singing? He says, I'm not having any negative. He's still there. I'm not having a negative feeling with this guy anymore. It's more positive. And so for him, it changed.
Yeah.
Whether it's something we did or maybe some of our forms of questions, I don't know. We did catch a lot of EVPs when we were there. Mm-hmm. So when we go back, we will maybe change some of our questioning, to the negative aspect, but why are you now interacting with this dishwasher?
Yeah.
More so on a positive, what was happening before that made you angry? So yeah, we change things when we go back to places, and it makes it kind of, where's Waldo?
Yeah.
what can we look for?
And I think that's really important. That's why I like your group and I like you is I always say too in my episodes and stuff, I don't claim to be an expert on any of this. It's like, I'm just doing my own research, sharing the information I get, sharing any evidence I'm able to get or who I talk to, but I think it's really important that we're all growing. We're all learning. We're learning from what other people do. And it's great to share stories and share what you found out and share different things like that, because we want to make sure, okay, next time, maybe we learn something. Maybe it's going to change the dynamic for somebody next time.
Absolutely. One of the things that when I talk to them, I say, okay, first thing right out of the bat is, because they ask, how much is this going to cost? And I say, mm-hmm. no money. But the biggest deal for me is that I say to them, this is going to be in the strictest confidence. If you allow us to come in there, I will share it exclusively with you. We will not talk about it. We will not share it with anybody else or any of our medias, mm-hmm. unless you authorize it. What you do with it, fill your boots. But I will not cross that line. And we have had really, really positive response because of that. We've had other groups that have crossed that line. Mm-hmm. And we will not do it. Because then you get back in again. Then you get another chance to do some more. Then you have built that trust. And that's really, really important for paranormal investigators. Again, foundation, trust, safety.
So this brings us to the end of my discussion with Paul. And firstly, I want to say a big, huge, massive thank you to Paul Bush. As you can tell, he's an open book. And that's really, really appreciated. So thank you so much to Paul and to Cornerstone Supernatural for all that they do. So I don't know about you guys, but for me, I have so many more questions and topics that I want to get into in more detail with them. So please let me know on Facebook or Instagram if you have any questions or anything else that you'd like to know from Paul or the group, and we'll definitely do another episode in the future. Please make sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Real Scary Podcast. Check out my website and this episode's blog at realscarypodcast.ca under the heading Episodes. And finally, if you have any suggestions, comments, or even stories of your own, please email me at realscarypodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to join me next week for part 1 and 2 of Unsolved Mysteries. I'll be talking about some well-known cases, as well as some lesser known cases. And moreover, listen to me blow the mind and scare the pants off of my dear friend, who has no idea what's coming. Our Halloween episode is coming up fast, and I can't wait for you guys to hear about this very active home in Drumheller, Alberta. And you will hear it also from the owner himself. Until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood host, Elise.